This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2122. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded January 20th, Antarctica, Belarus, Canada, Cuba, Egypt, Europe, India, Indonesia, Iran, Italy, Korea North and South, Madagascar, Myanmar, Netherlands, Slovakia, Spain, Sri Lanka, Switzerland, Tibet, Tonga, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Strangely enough, LRA 36 Antarctica is still appearing during the southern summer when they're usually on hiatus, at least on Wednesdays and maybe on Saturdays. I was hearing it again Wednesday, January 19th, between 1526 and 1630, via remote in Brazil on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. It could be on as early as 1400, as some scientists in Oregon was also monitoring it that way. In Rusty X, Konstantin Bersenkov in St. Petersburg has some advice on QSLing Radio Belarus International as relayed via Germany. He says, I sent a report last February to radio_Belarus@tvr.by, but it was not answered. So I used the guestbook form on the station's website, www.radiobelarus.by/guestbook. The Russian language was used for this. He sent another report for December 5th, broadcast on 3985 at 2001 to 2100 UT. He says, in addition to the QSL card, they sent a postcard with a view of the Church of St. Simon and Helena in Minsk, a New Year's greeting card, an info booklet of Radio Belarus, a fridge magnet with the station's logo. It was mailed on December 30th and received on January 12th. But he says, since this is still a guest book, the messages are published in full. If you do not want to advertise your mailing address, it's better to report this immediately in a letter. All messages are checked by the administrator. The reaction is quite fast and absolutely adequate. Also files somewhat uncertainly under Belarus, from Rusty X, about the pirate transmitter on 3940. Some QSLs are now reported from a different station called Radio Piach Uglov, which means five corners, or I guess Pentagon. Vasily Lazarev received an EQSL for January 9th at 0130 to 02 on 3940. And Dmitry Elyagin says, recently a new music podcast, Radio Piach Uglov, began broadcasting on the frequencies of the Bay of Free Waves. Podcast author Yevgeny Ivanov confirmed reception on 3940 on January 8th. The non-commercial music podcast, Radio Piach Uglov, broadcast foreign music with commentary. I continue to hear activity on some of the remaining medium wave frequencies of the Canadian Coast Guard for marine weather broadcasts, 2749 and 2598, both USB. On January 14th, they seem to be in parallel in French with a robotic YL voice, both scheduled to start at 0437 UT. I tuned in at 448 or 449. Most of these are in Newfoundland or Nova Scotia. However, these two happen to be in Quebec, both on the north shore of the St. Lawrence. 2749 is VCN at Les Escomans, and 2598 is VBQ22 at Natashquan. They're both listed as 600 watts. One is relaying the other, apparently, although they are not very close together, according to dxinfocenter.ca. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, says Rick Martin in Arizona. Sometimes RHC transmissions are mixed up with spy numbers transmissions, obviously coming from the same transmitter site. That was the case January 10th at 0800, when he heard RHC in Spanish on 9065. Weak modulation, but RHC should not even be there. There is a HMO1 type number station scheduled at that time. Of course, propaganda and espionage are closely related. I had not heard these in a while, but on both January 17th and 18th, Radio Vanacuba succeeded in emitting spur blobs out of its 13700 transmitter, heard before 16 UT, approximately 62 kHz above and below, and even second-order ones at double that separation, i.e. around 13636, 13764 one day, 13828 and 13573. The next day, approximately 13761 and 13638. In that case, the doubles are about 13577 and 13823. Radio Cairo, Egypt had ceased trying to broadcast its sesquiar in English at 2115 on 9900 after on-and-off attempts with extreme distortion or little or no modulation. It was still missing on January 16th, but it was back on January 18th and failing miserably. Extremely distorted music. Measured by the Holland remote on 9899.605. Something's always egregious at Egypt. Via Terry Cogan, Texas Radio Shortwave publicity, is of special interest to European listeners. Last chances to hear the many radio voices of Dr. Tim on Saturday, January 22nd. That's the well-known European pirate who died recently. These are scheduled on Channel 292 and WRMI for reception in Europe. In fact, there are 45 different stations or names he went by over his career, and apparently they have recordings of all or most of them. Both on Saturday, January 22nd, first on WRMI 15770 at 11 UT, and then on Channel 292 Germany at 15 UT on 9670. North American listeners will have a chance later in February to hear this broadcast via RMI. In the NASFA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois says, TWR India via Armenia is my favorite morning SWLing station. I can always count on them for a great signal and entertaining music. That is, before and after 1345 UT when they change languages from the vernacular Kuruk to Haryanvi. That's on 12075, as heard January 12th. As for All India Radio itself, Ralph Perry says, the Bangalore transmitter, which had been on 11560, has apparently changed to 15030, starting at 1330 UT for their Dari language service, heard on January 16th. Also heard by Mark Taylor in Wisconsin until 1500. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says, January 19th was a rare day with actual audio, not a great signal but not too bad, from the Voice of Indonesia via Palangkaraya on 3325. At 1311 UT after the news in English, played the usual patriotic song, Bajimu Nigeri, which means For You, Our Country, and played it again at 1412 after the news in Indonesian, and after the news in Chinese at 1514. Several weeks ago, we had reports of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Arabic service on the wrong frequency via the Zahedan transmitter site, 9130 for the 1030 to 1430 Arabic service. Now, Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports that happened again, as heard January 18th. This was instead of the registered frequency 9530, and perhaps a keypad punch-up mistake, but on January 20th, they were back to 9530. We regret that some of our transmissions via IRRS have been missing or truncated. Alfredo Controneo has explained there's apparently a problem in coordinating everything between the studio and transmitter sites. And remember, this week, January 21st, is a week we're supposed to be skipped anyway from the 7290 broadcast on Friday at 1915, but we should still be on medium wave 918 or 1323 kHz. The transition has now begun from one to the other at the Villa Estensi AM Italia relay site. Sometimes I've heard both on the air at the same time, each with different interference problems. Notably on 1323, there's also a 15 kilowatt station in Romania carrying Minority Languages Services in Hungarian and German. Our new contributor, Alex Canavas, in Chattanooga, the one in Tennessee, not Oklahoma, reports hearing something suspicious from North Korea. The Pyongyang FM broadcasting station on a webcast. This was January 15th at 0323 UT on the Streama website after searching Google for information about North Korean radio. It gives an ID as Pyongyang FM Pangsong Imnida after every two or three songs with an interval signal and time pips around the top of every hour. But it does not sound like an official time announcement. Authority on North Korean radio, Martin with a Y Williams, replies to our group, I listened to this a few days ago and concluded it's not a live stream. There's a group of North Korean supporters in Russia that produces the stream and presents it as live. This has been around for several years, but the Streama version might be new. When I first heard it, I was immediately suspicious, as the Radio Pyongyang interval signal is played just before the top of the hour, every hour. On KCBS, Pyongyang Broadcasting Station, and Central TV, this is only played at the start of each day's broadcasting. Playing it hourly on a local FM station makes no sense. This is not available via satellite, so the source of the stream would have to be a receiver in the DPRK or very close to the border, if it was real. I suspect the source of the music is content they have recorded from state television, which is available via satellite. Each day, 30 minutes of music is broadcast with a test card before regular programming begins. The same group in Russia has also occasionally put a live stream on YouTube of the TV broadcast. Alex Canavos replies, I don't understand why there are no official or at least authentic live streams of radio stations from the DPRK. I don't see why the government of North Korea isn't more proactive about doing this. After all, they seem to want to go out of their way to promote ideas like Juche and the activities of Kim Jong-un. Why not let us listen to the latest and greatest North Korean hits? From Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard's observations of clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, January 17th. Echo of Hope, VOH, had changed frequencies to this lineup, 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, and 9100. Checked at 1114 UT, should be good through Sunday the 23rd. VOH on 6355 before 1046 had very good reception, but North Korean jamming started at 1046. The other one, Voice of the People, did not change frequencies since last week. Madagascar World Voice, almost antipodal, puts a good signal into deep North America, such as for African Pathways Radio at 18 UT on 13670. January 15th, it was neat to be hearing this tropical station well on my car radio as I was driving through a light snowstorm with This Day in History, but later in the hour there was anti-science nonsense creation moment. Ron Howard's observations of Myanmar Radio, 5985, January 19th, slightly less than semi-readable at 1530 going into English with news, sports, and weather, and a PSA about COVID-19. It was blocked after 1558 by China. And Myanmar's other frequency, 5985, anomaly or change of schedule. January 16th at 10:07, they were on the air very early. For over a year, their normal sign-on was not until 11:30. However, they were missing from their other frequency, 9730. And on the 17th, Myanmar 5985 was on at 0940 with no 9730. By the way, 5985 is now blocked by NHK from 1055 in Russian. Via international vacuum, internet, medium, short, and ultra-short waves, World of Radio 2122. A non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Moises Koyokia in Regal Park, New York, who sent a check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser. P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Observer Bulgaria provides the frequencies of Radio Piepzander in Holland, 1 kilowatt transmitter at Zvola, ZWOLLE, as of January 19th. They're on the air only on Saturdays and Sundays in Dutch. 6185 is not 24 hours, but between 08 and 18. 5940 at 08 until 20. 7445 from 08 until 18. And 7425 from 18 until 08 UT. You may recall that Rimavská Sobota was the shortwave transmitter site in Slovakia, now deactivated. There's also a medium wave station there of 10 kilowatts. In Rustyx, Alexander Yurin in St. Petersburg says, the official website of RTVS says the work of the Rimavská Sobota transmitter will terminate on January 31st. 10 kilowatts on 1521 kilohertz. At 05 to 17 UT, Radio Patria is broadcast. The rest of the time, Radio Devin. John Filiazzi and I note that one of the occasional mailbag programs on Spanish foreign radio appeared Wednesday, January 19th, during the token English broadcast at 23 UT on 9690 to North America and three other frequencies. When I tuned in, there were replies to four listeners, all of them well known to me, small world, including John Jurasek in Orlando, the one in Florida, not Oklahoma, who said as of December he had been very sick with COVID. Justin and we all hope he's much better by now. No telling when the next mailbag will appear. So far I think it's only been on Monday and or Wednesday, but it could be on Friday, the 3 days a week when there are English semi-hours. The other frequencies are 11940 for South America, 12030 for Middle East, which is often good or even better here than the North American frequency, and the fourth one to Africa. This season it has been consistently heard by me on 11670, although there's been confusing, contradictory info in various listings. But on January 20th, before opening at 16 UT, I actually had it on 11685. On January 20th, Joe Jacobs informs us, SLBC restarted Colombo International Radio from today on 873 kHz in Tamil at 0125 to 0230 beam to South India. Fair to poor reception from Sri Lanka noted at my place in Hyderabad, India. N. Arun Kumar replies, this service was famous among radio listeners for several decades, but unfortunately SLBC chose to stop it several years ago. Good that they have revived it in the morning, and I hope they restart their evening service as well. He says, I received it well on Philips Bahadur Analog Radio with an internal antenna in Vellore, India. They announced in the program it's primarily targeting Tamil Nadu for advertisement revenue. Filed under Switzerland none, because that is the location of C.M. Obrecht, O-B-R-E-C-H-T, who does a program under his name. This info from his FB verse via RustyX, electronic music created with synthesizers and less DAW usage, trance, hardstyle, ambient, and EDM. A new program scheduled for January 28th at 12 UT with 300 kilowatts on 11735. That is on next Friday. Transmitter site not specified, but I'm guessing Austria. On January 15th, Eva Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports the frequency changes of Voice of Tibet, a transmitter site Tajikistan with 100 kilowatts in Tibetan. It would take a long time to list all the details. During a single-hour broadcast, they change frequencies several times, so I'm just going to list them all in order. Between 13 and 14 UT, 9876, 9864, 9894, 9864 again, 9886, 9876, 9894, and 9864. To make it more confusing, after 13:30 they are on two at a time. And of course, the situation may be totally different on another day. The other broadcast at 23 to 24 UT shows one at a time, 7496, 7486, 7476, 7491, and 7499. I believe it's pronounced Tonga, not Tonga. In fact, some old postage stamps would spell it T-O-G-A. Anyhow, that volcanic eruption has led to discussion about its communications being cut off. For example, Matt Francis sends a story from the Australian newspaper of 17 January. Tonga's communications with the outside world could remain cut off for at least 2 weeks. hindering the island nation's recovery from the volcanic eruption and tsunami. The sole 872-kilometer-long communications cable connecting Tongan capital Nuku'alofa to Fiji and the rest of the world was knocked out when the volcano erupted on Saturday. In sarcasm mode, Ken Zicke replies, "If only there were some way to use a wireless communication method to speak with those on Tonga. Alas and alack, what do we do if the internet and undersea cables fail? Maybe some wireless communication method that traveled beyond line of sight and was refracted by some natural thing, not dependent on human interaction, should be exploited? Too bad something like that doesn't exist. I wonder if anyone will ever think that these systems should be maintained and developed for use. No, that won't happen. It's too old-fashioned and not as reliable as the newfangled internet, right?" Yes, none of the reports out of Tonga seem to even entertain the possibility of emergency communications via ham radio. Chris Mackerel in New Zealand says, "Reportedly the fallback satellite uplinks are blocked by the ash clouds. Satellite phones are working sometimes. Local AM 1017 kilohertz was apparently off the air due to lack of electricity." Mark Bailey replies, "A crank-powered QRP CW transceiver and a wire slung up in a tree might be working miracles right about now." And he found a 1979 article indicating there very well might not be any hams left on the island capable of setting up an emergency HF station. I say, if you log in to QRZ.com, search by DXCC Tonga, you get a list of 125 hams there with A31 or A35 calls. But it's historic, with previous licensed visitors, the expeditions, most of them are or were foreigners. But Chris Mackerel says initial communication was via satellite phones. On January 18th, John Jurasek says, "I was listening to Radio New Zealand, 15720 and 11725, immediately after the eruption and tsunami, and they were doing the best they could in terms of coverage despite a scarcity of information. So if anyone in Tonga was scanning around for news on a portable shortwave receiver, at least there was one station doing their best. There's been lots and lots of press about BBC funding cuts looming. Matt Francis in Australia says change is coming to the funding model, with the Johnson government freezing the annual license fee for 2 years before looking to phase it out altogether. BBC World Service is among the radio and TV services funded through license fee revenue. In addition to income from BBC's commercial activities and grants from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, there's a story in The Guardian of January 17th by media editor Jim Watterson. BBC license fee to be abolished in 2027 and funding frozen. And other long stories hardly refer to the BBC World Service, let alone shortwave, which is insignificant to them. Stephen Luce in Houston, Texas says, "There will be at least one general election in the UK before 2027, and a new Labour government might very likely reverse any spending cuts, we shall see. We continue to wonder about the future of BBC World Service Radio and its shortwave output. I'm surprised further cuts have not already been made, considering budget pressures of the past few years. There is a degree of resentment among the British public that overseas listeners are provided free content, while those at home in the UK have to pay a license fee." Tibor Gaal in Hungary says, "Doesn't the general public in the UK know that the UK's only known worldwide brand is the BBC? Nothing else is. Spice Girls, is that enough?" Michael in the UK says the top-heavy BBC definitely needs reform, not least its financial priorities. Mike Cooper forwards more stories about this you might want to look up from the Financial Times and the New York Times. Meanwhile, Doug Brown in Seminole, Florida says, "It's been a long while since I've been able to enjoy BBC World Service with armchair quality reception at a convenient hour. But I have been for the past week at our winter home in Tampa Bay area after a 2-year hiatus. I've been hearing BBC in English every evening from 03 to 04 GMT on 6195. They're pounding in solid in the southeastern U.S. Of course, we wouldn't want BBC to know that anyone is listening here. They would shut it down." "Guess what," I reply, checking on my NGS globe with a geometer. "The 320-degree beam from the Oman relay site is aimed right at Seminole, Florida. oops, BBC is inadvertently broadcasting to North America on a legacy frequency. But it's not intended to cover any further than Turkey. In the British Steelers Club, James Simon says he's carrying out another webcast of his Radio Emma Talk. That is Saturday, January 22nd, starting at 1600 UT. I watched the previous one and found it very interesting. He says the link is at www.mixcloud.com/live/radio-emma-talk/. All in lowercase except for the R, the E, and T of Radio Emma Talk. WTWW seems to have suppressed the parasites to its number 2 transmitter on 5085, but I could just barely dig them out January 16th at 0701, exactly 12.718 kHz above and below 5085. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports, a prominent carrier on 3945, January 15th at 0820, but it went off at 0825. Also heard a carrier for some weeks on 5040, as have many of us after Cuba goes off. These two imply it's coming from Vanuatu, but we need some modulation to be sure. If it is on 3945, also check for the harmonics, which used to go out on 7890 and 11835. Or another possible source of a JBA carrier on 5040 would be a harmonic of something domestic from 1680 times 3. Richard Lemke forwards this from spaceweather.com, dated January 11th. Solar cycle 25 is heating up. New sunspot counts from NOAA confirm the young solar cycle is outperforming the official forecast. Sunspot counts have exceeded predictions for 15 straight months. The monthly value at the end of December was more than twice the forecast and the highest in more than 5 years. The official forecast comes from the Solar Cycle Prediction Panel, representing NOAA, NASA, and International Space Environmental Services, ISES. Using a variety of indicators, the panel predicted that Solar Cycle 25 would peak in July of 2025 as a relatively weak cycle, similar in magnitude to its predecessor 24, but instead Solar Cycle 25 is shaping up to be stronger. Skywatchers have already noticed the change. A Swedish tour guide says auroras now are the best in years. Geomagnetic activity has nearly tripled since the new solar cycle began. In 2020, the first full year of 25, there were 9 days with at least minor G1 class geomagnetic storms. That number skyrocketed to 25 days in 2021. One of those storm days, November 4th, was a borderline G4 class severe event, with auroras sighted as far south as California and New Mexico. There have been 2 X-flares since the middle of 2021. 2 down, 98 to go. Typical 11-year solar cycles produce more than 100 X-flares during the years around solar max. Stay tuned for updates as Cycle 25 intensifies. The short-term propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field expected to reach active levels February 4th and 11th, with AN Candace's peaking at 15 and 4 or 15 and 5. Solar flux declining from 106 January 21st to a minimum of 90 January 29th and 30th, and back up to 110 starting February 3rd. And that's World of Radio 2122. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Hauser, hoping you'll hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.